this for my culture, 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 culture. Welcome to For the Culture right here on WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely, the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with us this evening, folks. It is that time of the week. Happy.
Hello, Friday.
Here we go.
See, it's Friday night and I just got paid. I done had a hard week, now it's time to celebrate.
Woo!
All right, happy Friday, folks. Happy Friday, happy Friday. Let's give another warm round of applause for that, because it's a beautiful Friday. Seen people at the car wash today, Dre. Seen people at the bank today. It's going to be a good Friday. It's going to be a good Friday night. People are taking off their mask. That's all I'm going to say. People taking off their mask. Freedom! It's like Braveheart. Freedom! And I don't know. But look, happy Friday, folks. Tonight, we got a great show for you. Very excited to talk about some of the big topics. This is a really good one. I really like this topic that we got prepared for you tonight. I want to talk about interracial love and fighting for black lives. Woo! Interracial love and fighting for black lives. We're going to talk a little bit about this whole dynamic. Also tonight, if you did not know, did you know that in Baltimore City, we have a space called the Black Arts District? Did you know that? If you did not know, we have a space called the Black Arts District in West Baltimore that is slowly gaining momentum. Well, not slowly. It is gaining momentum in a big, big way. And this weekend, you can check out the Black Artist Fair that is going to be sponsored and hosted by the Black Arts District here in Baltimore City, where you can see local talent doing some amazing things, from everything from poetry to musical performances to even special guest speakers and other things, all virtually presented by the Black Arts District. And tonight we're going to talk to, well, later on this evening, we're going to check in with Lady Breon, of who is one of the lead advocates, big coordinators for establishing the Black Arts District in Baltimore City. This is not just something on in a virtual space. They are looking forward working towards building buildings, renovating buildings to bring back the Black Arts Districts, preferably along the Pennsylvania Avenue corridor. So later on in the show, we'll have that discussion. How about that? But first, folks, I want to talk about this issue of interracial love and fighting for black lives, because we came across something that I think should be discussed. There was a piece that was written by a woman by the name of Kim Kelly, and she wrote a little kind of like an op-ed, you know, an opinion piece about a topic that most people probably don't want to talk about, which is interracial marriage, interracial dating. And even today in 2021, it's still seen as a taboo. So Kim decided to in the space of where we are and talking about police brutality, talking about Black Lives Matter, she decided to write a little bit about her experience. I'm going to share with you just some excerpts from her piece And you can go to mike.com and you can find this piece, Loving a Black Person Isn't the Same as Fighting for Black Lives. Ooh, Kim Kelly, really? Loving a Black Person Isn't the Same as Fighting for Black Lives. So let's just jump right into this, because I think that we'll have a lot to talk about on this. She said, quote, my boyfriend and I have a game we play whenever we're out in public. Whenever one of us spots another interracial couple passing by, we'll give the other a little nudge and whisper, look, an us. Sometimes it's an older us. Sometimes it's a more stylish version or a queer version or a rebellious teen version. Every time, though, we share a smile because it's nice to be reminded that we aren't alone. While interracial couples now make up more than 10% of all new marriages in the U.S., partnerships like ours are still uncommon enough or taboo enough to garner stares when we're out in public. I've noticed that police tend to stare the hardest, and whenever I catch them looking, my stomach drops. As a white cisgender, that means a woman that, you know, that is attracted to men, cisgender woman from a rural community, my early interactions with police barely left an impression. My boyfriend, on the other hand, vividly remembers each time he was stopped and frisked on his way home from his South Brooklyn high school, and all the times he's been arrested just because he happened to be black in public. They see him as a threat and me as a potential victim. I may be safe around them, but he isn't, and even my whiteness can only offer so much protection. It can offer some, though, and as the one who holds that power of unearned privilege, it's my job to find ways to use it to support and protect him and the other black people in our lives. As author and sociologist Crystal Fleming wrote in her book, How to Be Less Stupid About Race, she says, quote, all too often, interracial couples don't even bother talking about how racism shapes their lives because they can't do that kind of intimate work. Now, this is Kim. She says, of course, any relationship requires hard work, sacrifice, and communication, but white partners need to understand how those normal challenges are amplified when the person they love is struggling to survive under a white supremacist system designed to tear them down. And that intimate work of loving someone takes on a whole new dimension when your partner is living under constant threat of violence from the racist state, racist police state. It's only been 53 years since the Supreme Court's ruling in the Loving versus Virginia case declared state bans on interracial marriage unconstitutional and effectively legalizing the practice decades, sometimes centuries after the laws prohibiting them were first entered onto the books. Each year on June 12th, Loving Day, people gather to remember and celebrate that landmark decision, which finally made it legal for straight couples to marry regardless of race and also helped pave the way for further marriage equality for LGBTQ couples. She said a lot has changed in those 53 years, but the black community and its allies are still engaged in that same fight against white supremacy, racism, and police brutality. The arc of history still needs correcting. And the recent nationwide uprising against state violence and police brutality that was sparked by the killings of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery has made clear just how much work there is to be done. During this current moment, white accomplices have a chance to actually be useful, and it is imperative that we get it right. There's this prevailing notion among some white people that having a close relationship with a black person means that you cannot possibly be a racist. This is a wrong-headed and ignorant way to think about the subject. Yet, the I have a black friend excuse has long been treated as an accountability avoidance card. And to add another layer, just because you're in an interracial relationship or have dated or slept with black partners, that doesn't mean that you're automatically insulated from racism or no longer complicit in white supremacy. Your proximity to blackness isn't a magical shield. It's a responsibility to those who have allowed you to share that space with them. Loving a black person isn't the same as fighting for black lives. The sooner that white people, the white partners realize that it isn't enough to simply consider oneself not racist, and one must be actively, vehemently, radically anti-racist, the sooner they, we, can finish the work of dismantling white supremacy once and for all and show that we are worthy of those who love us. Being white and loving a black person means being eager to listen, to learn, and most importantly, to show up and fight for them. It means educating yourself on the black liberation struggle, consuming black literature and art and political theory, interrogating your own privilege and internalized racism, and actively betraying whiteness at every turn. Instead of spouting off about how you don't see color, you need to acknowledge and honor your partner's blackness and every part of their identity. You need to know when to mind your own business and recognize that some spaces are not meant for you and that your presence there may actually be harmful. Your commitment to your partner means committing to fighting for all black lives, including black trans lives, that are among the most vulnerable and those who have been impacted by the prison industrial complex and racist criminal justice system. It means engaging in direct political action in support of black lives and political issues that impact black communities. It means identifying where your privilege can be useful and understanding that it is your role to center and amplify the black voices leading that charge. It means understanding that if you have children together, they will be black, and you will need to educate yourself on how to help them celebrate and feel connected to their black identity, history, and culture. You will also have to learn how to talk to them about the police. If you're a white woman involved with a black man, it also means understanding why some black people may not approve of your relationship and accepting that it's not your place to argue. There is a long and bloody history of violence that has been perpetuated against black men by white men who sought to protect white women from an imagined threat and the complexity of the white woman who allowed it to happen in their names. The fetishization and sexualization of black men's bodies has deeply racist roots, yet is still upheld everywhere from porn to protest. She says, we hear echoes of the white women who have actively worked to uphold white supremacy and exploited their place in their hierarchy to inflict violence upon black men in the voice of Amy Cooper and that of every other racist Karen caught on video threatening a black man's life just because she can. Knowing this, knowing the risk your partner is taking to be with you, means that the bare minimum you can do is to call out racism wherever it rears its ugly head, no matter how close to home that may be. I know from experience how uncomfortable it can be to rebuke your dad over a racist remark or to call your grandma and confront her about her pointed word choices. The man I love is many things, but as a son of South Brooklyn, he'd be the first person to tell you that articulate is not one of them. It's hard, and it can cause rifts that are difficult to repair, but guess what? That's your problem. Confronting or even cutting off white friends and family members who can't accept your relationship or the humanity of your partner comes with the territory. It's not acceptable to expect your partner to put themselves in an unsafe situation or endure your bigoted family's microaggressions just because you don't want to have an awkward conversation. It's not their responsibility to educate your racist uncle or ask him to leave the dinner table when he starts mouthing off. It's yours. Every love story is unique, and every one of us come to them from a different place. My partner and I met through our involvement in anarchist activist circles. And while our shared radical politics and commitment to anti-racism provides a sturdy foundation, there are still many things about his experience that I will never be able to understand, and so much work I need to do. But it's on me to continue doing that labor of learning and unlearning and to keep showing up for him and his community. It's my job to keep on loving him as hard as I can while trying not to immediately fear the worst if he's a few minutes late coming home and I hear sirens in the distance. All he needs to do is survive and stop wearing his boots inside the house. That was a piece from Kim Kelly, a writer, who talks about loving a black person isn't the same as fighting for black lives. Folks, it opens up the conversation in a big way. And I'm wondering, do you agree or disagree with Ms. Kim Kelly here? Especially if you are part of an interracial couple, if you have a partner that is not of your same race, I would love to hear what your take on this is. Loving a black person isn't the same for fighting for black lives. Do you agree or disagree? Join me in the conversation. 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. And let me know if you think Kim is on to something. Here's what I think, and then we can jump into it. Oh, you can certainly post your comments on my Facebook page at Faraji Muhammad as we're broadcasting live on Facebook right now. Here's what I think, folks. I think Kim might be on to something. I think she might be on to something. And here's why. Because I am in full agreement with her that I like the fact that she's saying that you, as a white partner in a relationship with a black person, have to take the responsibility. And I agree with that. And I think that a lot of times there, and when it comes to love, is, you know, when it comes to race and love, there's an expectation that black people should bear the brunt of that. Whereas Kim Kelly is saying, no, we need to bear the brunt of that. And I think that opens up the door for there to be a reexamining. The other thing I really love was the fact that she said, and folks, this is something that I think is very, very real, because I've talked to, white residents in the city, and I talked to them about their views of what they see going on, and especially with policing and the whole nine, right? And the fact that she was saying that, you know, to take in black literature, take in black art, take in black political thought, right? And do your part to internalize, interrogate yourself about the internalized racist thinking that you may have been conditioned to think because of your family, because of the community you're from. I mean, I love that. That internal work is everything. That internal work is everything. And I think it makes the big difference between those who just say, yeah, I have a black friend, versus those who are really serious about stepping into another person's shoes. So I want to open up the conversation on this. 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. And let me know your thoughts about this as we're talking about interracial love and fighting for black lives. The question that I have, it's a very simple question. When Kim Kelly brought up this thing, loving a black person isn't the same as fighting for black lives, do you agree or do you disagree? Now, Kim has already said that she is comes out of this radical space. And I think it's important that we understand that when you are coming out of a radical space, then that means that you are willing to kind of go the extra mile in understanding what it means to be a radical. And that's the big thing that I want us to kind of take in as well. I'm going to go back to Saul Alinsky, because he talks about this in his book, Reveal for Radicals, in his first book, in one of his earlier books from back in the 1940s. But he asked the question, well, what is the American radical? And that makes me, when I read Saul Alinsky, then I thought about what Kim was saying. I was like, oh, this is deep. This is deep. We might be in a different space, because here's a woman, a white woman from a rural area, having this type of conversation with her partner, with her man, and then at the same time pushing the boundaries. But this is what Saul Alinsky put it out. He said, the radical is that unique person who believes what he says or what she says. He or she is that person to whom the common good is the greatest personal value. He or she is that person who genuinely and completely believes in mankind. The radical is so completely identified with mankind that he or she personally shares the pain, the injustices, and the sufferings of all his fellow men or women. For the radical, the bell tolls unceasingly, and every man or woman's struggle is his or her fight. The radical is not fooled. He or she faces issues squarely and does not hide his or her cowardice behind the convenient cloak of rationalization, or in this case, as Kim put it, you know, you hide behind this accountability avoidance card. The radical refuses to be diverted by superficial problems. He or she is completely concerned with fundamental causes rather than current manifestations. He or she concentrates his or her attack on the heart of the issue. Now, if the heart of the issue is supposed to be about love, if the heart of the issue is supposed to be you know, in a relationship context, you are supposed to, it's a journey, and I'm talking about a serious relationship, folks. If you are in a serious, committed relationship, then it's the journey. And the journey ultimately leads to some level of union, some level of unity between those two individuals. But there has to be a willingness to go there with that person. And that's the big part of this when we have these conversations, especially about interracial love, is that how far, how long, how much is one partner willing to go to the experiences, to the depths of being not just quote-unquote understanding, but being so in tune with their partner's experiences, right? With their pain, okay? You're so in tune with your partner's, like, very existence when you're in an interracial relationship. Can we talk about this? Because I think this is a little deep. And I think it opens up the conversation for us to look at where we are in 2021 based upon the humanity of other people. We have so many different, I would say, people struggles that let's look at this, all of the people struggles that we have in terms of with Asian Americans, with Black people, with white people. Yes, with white people have struggles right now, too. With Latin Americans and with all of these groups of people who are struggling and trying to figure things out and trying to essentially be at a get at a place where their humanity is being respected and is being acknowledged in this context of the white supremacist system that we currently live in. How do you find love, and how can that love prosper if there isn't that type of real, deep, heartfelt, fundamental, foundational, intimate work that's going to be done inside the individuals first in an attempt to become one with their partner? Let's have that conversation. 410-319-8888. Folks, we got to take a quick pause. When we come back, more, I would love to hear from you some more, and we'll come back, and we got Mark LaCoya and Steven on the line. So stay riding with us. All a lot to get to in the second 30 of For the Culture here on WEAA.
I do this for my culture.
Peace and welcome back to For the Culture right here on WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely, the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening. Folks, we are talking about love, interracial love, and fighting for Black lives. I had just read to you just an opinion piece written by a woman by the name of Kim Kelly, who had talked about why it's important for white partners of Black people in interracial couples. As a white woman, she has a Black man as her partner. She said, why it's important for white people to do the necessary work, to understand the pain, to understand the struggle, to acknowledge the humanity of their Black partners. And she went on to say that loving a Black person isn't the same as fighting for Black lives. And I want to get your thoughts on this. Do you agree? Do you agree that to be the case? 410-319-8888. Also, post your comments on my Facebook page at Faraji Muhammad. Let's go to the phone lines. Let me hear from LaKoya out of Baltimore. LaKoya, thank you so much for checking in. What's your take on this?
Hi.
Hi.
LaToya, how are you?
Oh, LaToya?
Yeah.
I appreciate that, LaToya. Thank you so much for checking in and for the correction. What's your take on this?
So, first, I just want to say that her piece was eloquently put. It was stated very well. And you could really tell that she didn't just write it as a great writer. A lot of heart and passion was behind it. But to answer your specific question, I do agree that if you are a white person with that's dating a African-American person, that does not mean, that just does not automatically qualify you as not being racist. And I just go about it, I mean, all that she said was correct and accurate, but I just look at it from the flip side of things. Because I'm black, and just because I date a white person does not mean that I'm not racist. I feel like if we just switch it around a lot of times, we'll take so much emotion out of it and just see each other the way that we're just supposed to see each other, to just try to be fair when we try to tear it apart to see, is it really racist? Is it not racist?
Mm.
And my other thing, though, when Kim was talking about the work, that you being the majority versus the minority, whatever
right.
case, because if you're in a different country, it could be the opposite. You know, it could be the opposite way.
Sure.
I agree with her with the work that you have to do, but I just want to pose this to the listeners, because when we see a lot of imagery out there for a long time now, when we do see, especially celebrities, when we see black celebrities and they're dating a white person, that white person could be Kim, where she is going to feed, you know, do her best to feed into their children a lot about that black race. But if you're dating someone that's kind of an Oreo themselves, that already got lost in translation, because everyone's mindset isn't at the same level.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just because you're a black and white couple on the outside doesn't mean that
you're a black and white couple on the inside, quote unquote.
Yeah, exactly.
Culturally.
Exactly.
Right. Like.
So everyone's experience is so totally different. And just because you see that on the outside, the way you put it, don't assume anything. Don't assume anything. Because
I
feel like a lot of times we tend to do that and think, oh, those children, they're only raised, they don't know their black side, they only know their white side, and they blame it on the woman, especially when if the father who's black doesn't have the information or care to teach it, why should that be her fault?
Right. So that's a good point, LaToya. That is an excellent point, that it can kind of go both ways. And I think that, I mean, for the sake of this conversation, she's certainly talking about her personal experience. But I think that you're right that, you know, even if you decide, if a black man decides to be with a white woman, and sometimes the black men aren't, they don't know their history. They don't know their identity.
Yeah.
And so that ignorance is brought into the relationship to the point where, you know, the white woman, she's just like, okay, I guess this is the way it's supposed to be, but you know what I mean? But I'm sure, and I'm going back to what Kim quoted from the sociologist, where the sociologist said, Crystal Fleming, who wrote the book How to Be Less Stupid About Race, said, quote, all too often interracial couples don't even bother talking about how racism shapes their lives because they can't do that kind of intimate work. Like,
of
I find that to be fascinating, to say the least, because it's like you're in a relationship with somebody from a different race, a different community, just all together. And how do you not talk about those things? But I can see, I'm not saying I can, that's the question I asked, but I do understand how that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because you don't want that to be a big thing. You don't want to, oh, no, I'm white, you're black, I'm white. You know, you just don't want it to be a big thing. So, LaToya, I think you bring up an excellent point. Thank you so much for checking in.
Thank you. Keep doing what you do.
Thank you so much, sis. Let's go back to the line. Let me go to Stephen in Baltimore. Stephen, what's your take on this? Do you agree or disagree? Stephen? Oh, we're going to have to let Stephen go. Okay, Stephen. All right, thank you so much. Let's go to Jax in Baltimore. Jax, what's your take on this? Does loving a black person isn't the same as fighting for black lives? Do you agree or disagree?
Okay, so can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so I was in a relationship for 15 years, an interracial relationship. My husband was also interracial, though he's biracial. He was white and Hispanic.
Okay.
But for all intents or practical purposes, he looked like a white guy.
Okay.
So he was treated like a white person.
Right.
And that's how he was.
Did he identify himself? Like, how did he identify himself?
Well, he was culturized as a white person. He didn't even speak Spanish. I spoke more Spanish than him.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
And we were living in California together.
Gotcha.
He's deceased now.
Okay.
But he was so in touch with my feelings as a black woman. Because, first of all, I used to do a lot of cultural stuff in the community with it in terms of holding programs and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was a school teacher, and I did a lot of stuff with my minority African-American and Mexican-American children.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So he already knew where I stood.
So did he, was he there for those activities and those things? Like, he was very supportive?
He was totally supportive.
Gotcha.
Every way. I had, when I met him, I had three kids.
Yes, ma'am.
Three African-American kids with African-American father. He took them as his own. He used to tell people those are his children. You know, if they said something to them, he would be, excuse me, you're talking to my son?
Gotcha. Gotcha.
And I used to think, wow, these people are confused, you know. But we totally talked about both our backgrounds with all our kids. You know, we were, at first we lived in a predominantly white community because we met in a college town.
Mm.
So we started there. And then we moved into, I moved us into a community that was, I'm not going to say predominantly African-American, but there was a large African-American and Mexican-American community,
okay.
Filipinos, you know, and a few whites, okay?
Sure.
Because I went there for the purpose of teaching school and teaching those kids and helping pull them up. So that's, you know, where we were. But, yeah, he was totally in touch. But I will say that I had other African-American friends who were dating white guys who were totally out of touch. I mean, they used to make jokes about black people and stuff.
Totally out of touch.
Yeah, with what was happening with African Americans.
Right, right.
Because they would make jokes about black people and they thought it was funny.
So how did your friends respond to those jokes? Did they kind of write it off? Oh, that's just how he is. Or
I had one that used to get upset and say, "That's not funny. You know, that's not right." You know, and so she used to argue with him.
Right.
You know, then I had others who just kind of like wanted to brush her off, you know, under the rug, like,
yeah.
Don't pay him no attention. You know, but they were really like, "Why are you guys out there marching again?" They would make comments like that.
So when you hear Kim Kelly's piece, does it like it sounds like you? Do you feel like she's on to something? Do you agree with her that loving a black person isn't the same?
I do. I do. Like I said, I have. I don't think I had any friend who had a husband that was as in touch, you know, with the black race, and as concerned about the black race as I had. You know, and like the guys that they were dating were guys I would never date.
But so, your husband was just a different person. He really took it serious that he was married to a black woman.
Yeah, he did. And he had three African-American kids that he felt like he had to look out for.
Right.
And protect.
Wow.
So he totally got the racism piece. But he did say to me when he first met me, I did not realize the racism that took place in this country these days because I was not around African-American people like that.
How did you start the conversation about race? Was it that comment that was the beginning of the conversation?
I think that was it because I forgot something happened. I think I got pulled over by a cop or something for driving a new car, you know, and I think he was really upset about that. And he said at that point, he said, because he had been with me for a while, and he said, I never knew, you know, to what extent you guys were bullied by police and picked on, you know, he says, because I was never around African-American people. And I just didn't think about it. You know,
right.
I heard it, but I just didn't think about it. There was no need for me to think about it. It wasn't in my world.
So it sounds like, you know, he was ignorant, and I'm not saying that to be insulting. I'm just saying he just didn't know. And then he kind of grew because of his life with you. He grew into a better sense of consciousness about himself and you and the world around him.
That's right. And because of our kids.
And because of your children together. Mm-hmm. So that's a beautiful thing. Well, you know what, yeah. Jax? I really appreciate that. I, my condolences to you and your family for the loss of your husband. Y'all were together for 15 years?
Yes.
That's beautiful. At least y'all had that time together.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate you. Thank you for checking in.
Okay. Thank you. Smile.
You're welcome. Folks, 410-319-8888. Let's go back to the line. Let's go to we got Steven on the line. Steven?
Yes, sir. Hey, how you doing, sir?
I'm good, Steven. How are you?
Good. Hey, first of all, just my opinion. I don't believe to interracial, couple.
Okay.
I don't see myself, share the bed with somebody out of my race.
Okay.
Just my opinion. It's just me. It's how I feel.
Okay, you have a right to, to choose who you want to lay down with, brother.
Yes, sir. Me personally, based off what happened and what's still going on, I tolerate those people. I cannot, share so many things with them.
Gotcha.
And also, please, white folks, stop saying you are helping us or you try to protect us. We don't need your help. We don't need your protection because you guys make us feel like we are weak. And we are not weak people, okay? If you really want to help, you just have to educate your own people.
Mm.
Because America is so racist that I don't know if one day they will realize that. Can you imagine that these people, they don't even see us as a human being? I have an incident yesterday with a homeless Caucasian. He have a nerve to say he's better than me.
Mm.
It's just to tell you the mindset of those people.
Yeah.
So please stop saying you are helping us or you protecting us. We don't need your protection. We are stronger than that. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Stephen, for checking in. I appreciate you. Let's go to Mark and Severin. Mark, thank you for checking in. What's your take? Do you agree or disagree with the statement of loving a black person isn't the same as fighting for black lives?
Well, Faraji, I'm going to tell you something, man. My life changed when I heard, I don't know if you're familiar with Jane Elliott.
Jane Elliott, yes, sir, I am, actually.
When she came out and says, hey, look, we're ignorant people who were raised by ignorant people. There's no such thing as the word race. There's only one race, human race. And if you take the time to educate yourself with different cultures and ethnicities, then you will have no problem with interacting with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's where I get, I just pull back and I withdraw. Because once somebody comes to me and says, hey, man, you can't get a dog from a chicken egg, I'm going to stop trying to get a dog from a chicken egg.
That's a crazy saying.
And if somebody comes and says, we've do extensive study and research and analysis over decades of anthropology and cultural relationship. The word race does not exist. But yet, we still would look at each other and say, look at that white man, look at that black man, look at that yellow man, look at this. Until we can stop this, until we can get a mindset and check ourselves, just like an alcoholic stands up and says, hi, my name is Mark and I'm an alcoholic, or hi, I'm Mark, I'm a drug addict. Until he can admit that, then that substance has no more power or value over them.
Now, here's the only thing I want you to consider, and I want to get your thoughts on this. When we take that stance, are we not negating the person's identity? If we just say, I don't see race, quote unquote, I see a man, I see a human being, I see a woman. Instead of saying, hey, I do see an Asian man, I do see a white man, I do see a white woman or a black man. I mean, doesn't that speak to the fact that we're acknowledging that person for who they are instead of negating them for who they're not? Because they're not. Well, and the other part about that, Mark, let me just throw this out there, too. I don't think that people would be in that place unless the systems that we are involved in emphasizes that.
That's how you take the value and take the energy that you are applying to that word that has no meaning and applying it to a substance or a subject that does require that value, meaning that Well, just because I'm not calling you a black man doesn't mean that, you know, I'm devaluing soul music or devaluing, you know, James Baldwin. No, the truth points to itself. So once we get and we can grow and mature as a species, not as individuals, but as a species, and realizing that, you know, true value lies in things that we apply our energy and our time to. If you're going to apply your energy and time to something, you know, like a plant that's a dead plant,
mm-hmm.
you're wasting your time. You're not taking the value away from it. What you're doing is you're focusing more on it because you're saying, hey, I was focused on the wrong thing.
I'm just curious. When you see racial incidents happen, when you see a racial situation, interracial couples, when you hear about these racial incidents with the police and all of those, do you say, oh, this is because there are two human beings that are not on the same page? Or do you say white officer, black, you know, black victim?
I just look at it as two people who are not educated. It's just that simple. You haven't spent the time and the energy to find out what your needs or what the needs are of this other individual, whether it be your husband, whether it be your neighbor, whether it be the guy that's behind the counter or a police officer. You know, that person who is inflicting pain upon you is ignorant. They don't know. They're only going by stimulus response, what the media, they're programmed by what the media has programmed them, and systemic racism.
Yeah, and I mean, the systemic racism runs deep because...
Oh, you better believe it.
The systemic racism runs deep. And I don't, you know, and again, like, while we're having this conversation, I don't think it's, and my only pushback on what you're saying, Mark, is that I don't think it's a bad thing that we acknowledge people, not necessarily because of the color of their skin, but we're acknowledging them because we know that they're coming from a different place that we may be coming from. Even as black people, you know, we say, oh, we all black, but yes, we're black. But you got to recognize that some of your brothers and sisters come from the islands, some come from Europe, some come from different parts of the, even different parts of the city. So it's an acknowledgement. That's why I think that would be the greatest honor, is to acknowledge me for who I am and then to help me to understand that even though I might be coming from a different place, we're still linked in the chain. We're still together.
Well, let me ask you, right, but let me ask you, I understand what you're saying. But what you're doing is, in my opinion, is, you know, you're looking at once again, skin color. Take that off of the table. Here's Faraji Muhammad.
Okay? Right.
Where's Faraji Muhammad from? Faraji Muhammad is, say, from Madagascar.
Right.
Okay, before you approach him, what do they eat in Madagascar? What is their music? What is their literature? What is their language?
You wouldn't know you wouldn't know that unless you talk to me.
No.
You wouldn't know that if you saw me walking down, you would not assume. Some people assume, and I'm not even joking, some people assume that I'm either from the islands or I'm from Africa. And I'm not even, and I'm saying the continent. And I'm like, no, I'm from Baltimore. And okay, I just, because your features, and because of this. And it's like, no, that walking into it, I would rather, it's like somebody saying, and I've seen this a lot. So people say, well, what's your name? And I say, my name is Faraji. And then they say, well, I need a shorter name than that. What else can I call you? No, you call me by what I asked you to call me by, which is my name. Same thing to me.
You're an ignorant person.
I get that. And I mean, there's a lot of people, we already recognize that are ignorant. But I'm just saying, just to simply acknowledge people. Mark, I got to let you go, dear brother. But I hear you, and I respect your opinion, and I thank you so much for checking in. Folks, let me go back to the line. 410-319-8888. Chris, Baltimore County. Chris, talk to me. What's your take on this?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right. First, the lady who lost her husband, my condolences. It sounds like a really great relationship.
Yeah, it does.
One of the things, my wife, I'm black, she's white. She lives in Baltimore County, but she actually grew up in Blair Edison.
Okay.
I'm a Navy brat, so I know the phrase Baltimore, but I'm the outsider looking in.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's a lawyer and everything like that. The biggest scandal on her, I think her mom's side, her mom passed away, but was that she married a black man. And and you know, she's, you know, has no problem with that. But it, part of it, it can be exhausting. You constantly feel like you are the representation of the whole African people, diaspora. And but I get, I agree with the lady's article about loving versus being a champion for it. And there are certain things my wife didn't know. I mean, I know all the history that she knows, but she, you know, she can talk about, you know, the Revolutionary War, but she might not know about Phyllis Wheatley or Benjamin Banneker and things like that. And so I'll be real short. She realizes, you know, her privilege growing up, but she realized you can boil it down to driving. She got in one to get her cars tinted, and I'm like, no, don't get your cars tinted. Don't get the wind, because I'll get pulled over. And she, I had to let her understand that.
So you had a whole conversation around tinted windows.
Yeah, yeah. So
now, let me ask you this, Chris, and I'm just really curious about this. When you, how long had first and foremost? How long have you guys been married?
11 years, 12 in June.
Oh, that's fantastic! Congratulations. But second thing is, how did y'all have that conversation about race when you were dating?
I think it had to do with her grandmother, who just wanted to know if I was a good person. And once her grandmother had no issues with her, her grandmother just passed away back in the end of the last day of 2020. That year really sucked, by the way.
Wow. Sure.
COVID hit our houses. She was in hospice care and everything like that. But, you know, her grandmother was fine. Her grandmother's sister, who has since passed away, my wife called her out because she knew that she used the N-word and stuff like that. Mm. And it's like she's got relatives who've gone to jail. She's the only one that's gone to college and a lawyer. And yet my family, where all of us are educated, I'm a teacher in Fairfax County. My younger brother went to the Naval Academy. And yet that was the scandal for not her nephew who was like cooking meth when he's 12 years old.
Jeez.
So yeah, that's my point about being exhausting. You feel like, you know, what do you have to do to win a Nobel Prize to get accepted by some of these people?
Have you expressed this level of exhaustion with your wife?
Yeah, well, sometimes, I mean, she understands. I have a phrase I've posted on Facebook and social media all the time. You know, people of color, the default position in America is suspect first, citizen second.
Mm.
And I say that because every time I mention it, people seem to resonate to that phrase, and she gets it. But sometimes it's like we don't make everything as a lesson to, well, I've got to educate the white people about what it is to be black.
Mm-hmm.
It can be exhausting, but she's aware of that. And I think probably the biggest thing about this goes back to driving. I'll get off the phone after this. She even tells the story. We were driving to Connecticut, coming back down here, and it's a funny story because she hit a bump and I spilled my coffee in my lap. So I like yelp because it's hot coffee. So she pulled off to the side, a very bad area of this intersection. So I'm pouring water in my crotch to keep from burning myself. And a cop comes up, and she said her heart stopped because she was driving, and the cop came over to my side. She just freaked out.
Wow.
Why is she going on that side? And then now it turns out the way we were parked, he couldn't stand on her house. He would have been in the middle of traffic. It was safer for him to go that side. But that was her first thing. And then my thing is like, oh, please don't let me get out of the car. I look like I pissed myself.
Right.
So
like you're guilty.
It's a funny story, but for a brief second, she got really afraid. And
I understand that. Hey, Chris, yeah. I got to let you go. But, man, I'm really happy. I'm glad that you didn't get into any type of situation with the police officer. But I'm happy to hear about this, because I think that it opens up the conversation. My hope is it opens up the conversation, not just between couples, but just individuals, for us to kind of start to check ourselves, to think through, you know, where we stand on certain things, because the world is changing. And when that doesn't mean you have to lose your sense of self. It just simply means that you should acknowledge the change if you're going to, quote unquote, kind of be living in the world at this time. So I appreciate you so much, Chris, for sharing you some just a little bit of the dynamics of your relationship with your wife. Man, oh man. Folks, look, I got to take a quick pause. When we come back, more of your thoughts about this. I still got a few callers that I want to get to. So I got Stephen, Gene, Mike, and DeAndre. And I want to hear what they have to say. But, folks, join me, 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. We're talking about loving a black person isn't the same as fighting for black lives. This is based on an opinion piece written by a white woman to talk about her life that she has with her black man, and wanted to know, do you agree or disagree with that? And how do we have these conversations about race when there are interracial couples involved? Let's have that conversation. 410-319-8888. And of course, stay riding with us. We got a whole lot to get to in the second hour of For the Culture right here on WEAA 88.9 FM. Absolutely the voice of the community. We'll be right back.